because you can handle the truth.
We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Hey, there's no feeling like waiting until the very last second to get some things done. It just gives you that rush, doesn't it? Welcome to the show. It's true what the digital voice said. It's Toward Anarchy. I am your host, Michael Storm. It's another beautiful day here in the middle of America, Topeka, Kansas. A great day to be alive, and I thank you so much for joining me. I hope you, with all that's going on around in the world, I can understand if you're feeling a little funky and a little weird. I mean, it gets to me. I'm an emotional person. I'm an empathic person. I feel for the world as much as I have a distaste for a greater portion of what the world is. I still do feel for it, and I still do wish it the best. And so I can understand if you're not feeling great about the way things are right now. It would be easy to do. All of a sudden, it's not just me, right? All of a sudden, America is a lot like the rest of the world, where it was this sort of idyllic, weird, almost trapped in the 50s sort of existence. Maybe it had moved on to the 70s and 80s and 90s into the partying with cocaine and tripping and raves and you know, maybe just a little bit of that. But as far as the mentality, this sort of how we're supposed to be, or how we appear to the rest of the world, and how we imagine ourselves, is sort of still this idyllic, you know, a family, 2.1 kids, white family, white picket fence, you know, not too many black people in the neighborhood. You know, that's scary. They start moving in and, oh boy, start tearing the place up, right? The animals. It's ridiculous. This weird notion that got to talk about color today, because it's one of the things that it's one of these conversations, and it gets me over and over again how people use it, and they use it so faulty, and it's on both sides. And I have to, well, let me take care of business first. Go to towardanarchy.com. Let me tell you what's going on today, and then I'll get into this conversation, because I have to. I don't have a choice. You made me do it. Everybody made me do it. The world did it. I'm just responding to the input that I'm getting from the rest of the world. So I will. Towardanarchy.com, you'll see that my guest today is a returning guest. That's really cool. Bradley Thomas is author of Tweeting Liberty, Libertarian Tweets to Smash Statists and Socialists. And if you're needing to, if you're not with me live at the moment, just click on the archive and you'll find it in there. Look for August. And it's August 30th. And Bradley will be my guest. He's coming back on the show. We'll talk about his book. I've been reading it. It's not a tough one to read. It's just tweets. It's just tweets and tweets over and over again. So I've just been squeezing some of it in and checking it out as I go along. The links, as always, I share them for you just so you can follow along. You can follow Bradley on Twitter. You can also support him by buying a digital copy of the book or a print copy of the book. I bought a digital copy of the book at any rate. A couple other links. We're already living in a technological dystopia, and it seems some people are just starting to catch on. Interesting little article there for you from Gizmodo, the tech site, questioning if we're living in a tech dystopia. There's no question about it, at least since the invention and mass acceptance of the cell phone, we most definitely, because we've been, every single one of us that has one is constantly connected to the central system in that way. Jerry Seinfeld responds, the comedian, he responds to James Ulcher, the article that I shared last week about the death of New York City, and I just shared it because it's just a counterpunch to what James was talking about, but I still, when it comes down to the two arguments, James makes the better argument because his is economic, and his relies on the fact that there won't be necessarily a need to return a lot of the jobs to that place, and there's not really any argument Jerry makes in there that counters that, but he does make a good social argument and an argument for sticking it out and you know, that true American spirit and that New Yorker spirit and things like that. So I thought it'd be fun to just share that with you. And as always, I apologize if something ends up behind a paywall on you. I know that one's from directly from his op-ed in the New York Times. You can find it other places. If you just have to research it. Otherwise, New York Times lets you sign up for, you know, you get a number of their articles for free and get their headlines and everything every day. It comes to, it's just one of many that I get, and I just happen to know that they do it. So I rarely do I find myself behind a paywall because I don't visit the New York Times that often. The worst thing in the world next to anarchy is government. That was Henry Ward Beecher who said that. As always, there's a link there for him. I just want to get this out of the way, talk about these things, because sometimes I don't and I leave them behind, and I put the stuff up there for a reason. And if you go to the website, it's fine. It works for you. You get to click. But if you just listen to the show, or if you happen to catch the video, which I'm catching it myself more regularly so that it can be posted, because I let the whole YouTube thing slack. I've just been terribly, terribly bad about using it just because of the fact that I don't have video. Well, if I have video, then I have no excuse. So video today with the conversation, you know, live, just the audio. That's how it works. But I'll post the video up on YouTube. And then, of course, the audio is always available across iHeartRadio and iTunes and Stitcher and all my friends on CastBox. I just watch it. It's just, it's cool because it's one I had never heard of before. Yet I just watch a tick, a new watch go up every month. And as I was logging in to change information on the website, as I always do, which I'm going to have to do right now. In fact, I'll do it real time while I'm sitting here talking to you and thinking about it, because I see that I messed up on the front page. Just I did. The link is right and everything. If you go to the front page, if you're live with me right now, if you click on August 30th, it's right there. But it doesn't quite say exactly what it's supposed to. Something got copied into the wrong spot, and so I have to fix that while I'm at it. But when I was looking at when I log in, every time I log in, it takes me to a page where it's a control panel is what it's called. And it's so that I can manage the website. And it also allows me to look at a whole bunch of other stuff, all the stats. And it allows me to check to see my email, just all sorts of things. If you've never built your own website, it's kind of neat, some of the different little functions and things that you can look at. And the only reason I really look at it at all is because it's right there. Some of the stats, they just throw them up on that page. And the site's had 20 gigs of data served up already this month. And if you're not a tech person, you that's not a big deal. You don't understand that. It doesn't mean anything to you. But if you're a tech person, let me explain to you, tech person, I'm serving up text pages and 40 megabyte audio files. So that's hundreds of just the file being listened to. Now, it doesn't even count the minuscule amounts of kbytes that are taken up by individual clicks and numbers of people. It's thousands of people now visiting the website every month. It's really, really cool. And it's neat to see. And it may not, you know, it's not hundreds of thousands, it's not tens of thousands, it's not millions, it's not, you know, it's thousands. And I'm very happy with that. And I appreciate that because I appreciate your time. I know that it's one of the few things that we don't get back. It's one of the reasons that I like the fact that it's primarily a radio show and not a video show, as it were, because you can listen to the audio. You don't. You can do other things and just have the audio. Not everybody's like me and can have multiple, all that input going on at the same time. It actually makes my head hurt sometimes. I shut it down as often as I can. I unplug all of it and just go away from it all as often as I can, or at least move on to the things that are fun and enjoyable out of those things that are always in front of me, the multiple screens that are always in front of me. I have to swing the camera around at some point and show everything. It's over there. I don't want to go move to it. So you're caught up. Let me fix this one other thing here that I was talking about. It's really easy for me to fix. That's what's cool about being able to do this, having complete control over the website and all this, and then having Ken there at the studio to make sure everything's cool with the audio and everything that goes out to you guys. So we have this, you know, synergy, this synergistic presentation here where if things aren't quite right, we can fix it. And so I got to jump onto this front page right here and just change this real quick. It's not that big of a deal, but it's enough of a big deal that it's going to bother me forever and ever. But it's one of those things where the second I do it, you can immediately click on the page and you'll be able to see the change. It's beautiful. It's not like TV. It's not like anything else. Of course, you're listening to the archive. It doesn't quite work for you. But then again, you don't experience the problem. It's already done. If you refresh right now toward anarchy.com, it's fixed. If you already noticed what was broken, it's fixed now. And actually, I can fix something else there, but that might, I guess I just go right back to the page. It's beautiful having all these things right here at my fingertips, and I'll just sit here and tell you about what happened this week. It was an amazing thing that happened in the world. I don't know if you were paying attention or not, but there was, people shot all over the place, it seems like. Cops shooting people shooting people. Well, it's status shooting people. Let's be clear about that. Across the board, it's just status shooting people. at least in all of these instances. We have to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse, I suppose. I promised that I would, and I promised I won't dwell on it, and I gave myself very little time to talk about it. So I just made a couple of notes so I can make sure to talk about some specific points. If you listen to the show, you already know where I stand. I stand on the right to self-defense, the unfettered right to self-defense. If you want to talk about bad decisions, making bad decisions, those weren't what were made by Kyle Rittenhouse when he was shooting people. Those were the good decisions he was making. Those were the clear decisions he was making, because boy, did he shoot and hit his targets, and only his targets. I got to give him props on that. But the reality is that he was being chased. He was being assaulted for whatever reason he was there. If that's what you want to start with, well, the other people that were there for their same reasons, in so much as they want to be seen and heard out on the street, or they want to pick a fight, or they want to stop someone from picking a fight. If you look at the Rittenhouse case, if you look at the videos, if you look around, the true things that are happening, if you see the video itself, I just read the defense attorney's statement about their client just before the show, and it matches my impression of what I saw from the video. And I've seen the same thing you have. I've seen the people chasing him, not necessarily knowing what they're chasing him with, but it looks as if they're attempting to assault him. And he's been cornered, and it's not until he's cornered that he begins to use his weapon. And he stops using his weapon. He offers assistance and gets on the phone and calls the police and begins to tell them that he has been involved in this incident and someone is injured and dying right there in front of him. And the mob tries to attack him. So he begins to run again, and they do attack him, and he's assaulted multiple times and knocked down. He's hit with his skateboard, or tried to hit him with a skateboard. I don't know exactly if he actually hit him with the skateboard or not, but that guy caught one in the chest and is dead. And I don't want to make light of a situation, but I can, because I'm at a distance, and because it's like I said, it's just status shooting status. It's just status killing status attacking each other. None of these people represent freedom in my eyes. None of them want what I want for the individual, and that's for him not to be oppressed by a third party intervention system of any kind, whether you call it government or whether you call it a commune or whatever you call it. It needs to be voluntary. That's what I want. None of those people want that on the street. Most of those people out there at night are out there trying to pick a fight. They've been out there lighting things on fire, defacing public and private property. You know I don't care about the public property. Burn down all the police stations and courthouses you want to. Really makes no difference to me, except that, again, it's just statists and doing things to statists. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody that really supports them in any of anything other than just the basic idea of making and making your voice heard out on the street. I don't know any reasoned people that believes that BLM or that Blue Lives, that either of them represents what the majority of us want. These are extremes. They're very much extremes. And if you understand numbers and if you understand percentages, then you understand what extremes mean. Whereas two things can seem almost completely similar when you compare just those two similar but different but obviously but scientifically. Say a man and a woman. Very different things, but very similar things. Made of the same materials, but have very slightly different physical and mental changes throughout them. But then, so if you compare like aggressive men to aggressive women, if you had to guess who was an aggressor in any given situation, if you guess the male, you'd be right more than 50% of the time, something like 60-40. And whereas if you guess the one, you know, you'd be wrong about 40% of the time. That's what I'm talking about. Whereas if you go to the extreme ends of that, do you see the most violent people in history, the most violent among us, most of those, the higher majority, the 90-95% are going to be men. Okay, that's what I'm talking about in the difference of extremes. And so these people down on the street, they don't represent freedom. They're an extreme response to things that are going on. They're not a reasoned response to things that are going on. The reasoned responses are arguably participating in the system and trying to change it within, voting, all that silly nonsense, or working to build your own parallel systems, which is a much better, much more successful idea, so that you're prepared for when this whole thing breaks. And it's breaking loose. America is now like the rest of the world. It wasn't before. It became that way. 9/11 certainly was a big marker in it. It introduced a new kind of terrorism to America, something that didn't exist before. And it said it was okay. It was kind of like open season on America, especially with the response to it, you know, our shotgun approach to trying to find the individuals responsible, and we won't even talk about the potential the reality of any conspiracy or individuals who could have known that may have been able to do something about it, those sorts of questions. But on the case of Kyle Rittenhouse, obviously I stand on where I always stand on these things, okay? He made a bad choice to go there in the first place, but it wasn't a wrong choice. It wasn't an immoral choice. I don't believe that even as a cop, COP sucker, a blue line type of guy, that he went there looking to pick a fight per se. I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But the truth is he went there and he helped people. He helped people medically. He helped people protect their property. He was there on request. Questions of crossing a border, imaginary lines, that answers that question. Uh, two, too young to defend yourself? Really? You're never too young to defend yourself with anything. It doesn't matter. We got to go into the break. I'll come back and I'll finish this up. And of course, Bradley Thomas joining us in just about 5 minutes. We'll be right back on Toward Anarchy.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Okay, go to towardanarchy.com if you want to follow along. It's August 30th. If you have to dig into the archive, I adjusted my chair, and I think I have to adjust it back down. I think I'm sitting higher, and I'm leaning into my microphone, and I shouldn't have to do that. It should be comfortable. I should be relaxed here. Bradley Thomas is my guest today. He'll join us in just a couple of minutes. He's waiting there right on the line. Tweeting Liberty is his book, Libertarian Tweets to Smash Statists and Socialists. And they're great. They're powerful. And they're perfect for what I talk about, living in this reality of sort of 160-character reality, limited attention spans, ADD, too much sugar, all of that sort of thing. So if you go to towardanarchy.com, if you have to dig into the archive, it's August 30th. You find the links there. You can follow Bradley on Twitter. He has many, many Twitter followers, and that's what brought about the book. His success at getting out there and tweeting Liberty, quite literally. And you can support Bradley by buying Tweeting Liberty, Libertarian Tweets to Smash Statists and Socialists. The link is there, of course, as well. And then, and just to wrap this up, because I had to address this, and I don't want to dwell on it, and I want to be done with it, and I want to move on to other things, although it'll probably come up in our conversation because it's just a part of reality. It's what's going on. Just a couple of points on this Kyle Rittenhouse thing. People keep using the word racist. That's going to be hard to justify when all the people involved were white. It's just a simple fact of it. And I think he's even listed as Hispanic somewhere. Just all of this weird nonsense, all these arguments about it's funny, sad, you know, because what I've seen is all of a sudden libertarian, voluntarist, anarchist people doing the same thing to suspects that the police, the DAs, the courts, the judges, the media does to suspects. And that's go and try to find every excuse in the book except the footage, the footage that shows him defending himself being assaulted by people. These sort of details of whether it was sticks and stones or not really is sort of a moot point when they know they're assaulting a person with a rifle. They know they assume that he's a fascist pig, that he's come there to kill leftists, right? And he has the rifle in his hand. So what sense does it make to assault him, bring a skateboard and a plastic bag to a gunfight or a brick or whatever, a Molotov cocktail even, whatever it was? All of these things will come out, and none of these little itty bitty factors change the fact that he was under assault. And again, if you want to go back to the point where people could have made good decisions, well, they could have all made the good decision to not be on the ground there. That was the first bad decision that they all made. So let's start there. And now if you really want to whittle things down, you've lost me, because I want to stick to the basic points. Everybody wants to this video came out earlier today that was supposedly, we don't know yet, and I haven't had a chance to look into it because I'm getting ready for this. This video comes out, and it's supposedly this Rittenhouse kid and some other kids in one of these, what seems to be a popular and growing thing to catch on video anyway, is sort of group fights, people getting in fights, and he's apparently beating up on a girl or some girl that's trying to beat up on his girlfriend. It's all confusing, and it's all aside from the point. It's all exactly what the police and the judges and the cops and the attorneys will do to suspects who've been damaged by the state or somebody. They'll try to make them into the bad guy. They'll say, well, all this guy's previous record or things that he did in the past make him guilty today. That's not the way the law works. That's not the way reason works. That's not the way we as a society of people who grow, forgive, move on, try to get better than we were the day before, that's not the way we handle things. If you could show, it might be a little different if you could show some repeated pattern, but it's not even the same thing. It's not even the same situation, really. It's quite different just simply because of the fact that there's a lethal weapon involved and the amount of control that it takes. I've been in this situation. I've been assaulted 4 times in my life while armed, and I haven't killed anyone. But I have pulled my firearm. I have put my firearm in someone's face before loaded and had to detain them. These things happen. if you live in a place where these things happen. I happen to live in one of those cities where it was like I was talking about just last week, just to put a little cap on this whole point about the difference in the way people are seeing things. I live in a city that is closer to broke than it is to prosperous. And so what we often see is crime. You see drugs. You see joblessness. You see people out of work. You see economic problems with the rest of the nation and the rest of the world trickle down even slower than it would into America. So, you know, if America sneezes, the rest of the world gets a cold. America, internal and in of itself, has the same things going on within it. And so when you start comparing, ask yourself this: would you have thought that the big clash of races and ideas and statists would occur necessarily in Kenosha, Wisconsin? I mean, really? Is that the place when we've got New York, Chicago, Detroit, D.C., L.A., Denver, even? We have all of these other white but mixed, large, ingrained communities and cities that you would expect something like this to maybe blow up in first. But I don't know. I don't know. We are experiencing a time unlike any other in America. And it's an interesting thing to watch. It's an interesting thing to get here, to be able to sit here and analyze. We got just a couple of seconds. We'll go into this commercial. We will come back, and we will jump into the conversation with Bradley Thomas. Not this conversation. We will move on. That's the beauty of the way we break up the show. You can just skip ahead past all my pontifications and talk of Birds of Prey and the Batman, which I'll do after James leaves us. Unless he wants to talk about Batman. Oh, we'll see. Just whatever the conversation, whatever comes up in the conversation, we give ourselves a thing to fall back on. You know, we'll fall back on the book. It's Tweeting Liberty, Libertarian Tweets to Smash Statists and Socialists. And I've been reading it, and it's great. I think it's perfect for the reality that we live in. Are we just going to keep rolling, Ken? Because I see that we've rolled past the break there. All right. If we need to do it, do it. It's fine. All right, cool. Well, we're just going to bring Bradley in, and we're going to start talking then. Bradley, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it, man. It's good to be back with you. I'm excited about what you and I have been talking about in email, about bringing you back on a regular basis and just catching up with the things that you do, because you do more than just the book. You do a lot. You're out there. You're kind of a big guy.
Well, thanks, Michael. I really appreciate the kind words and really glad to be back on your show speaking with you again. Yeah, in addition to the book, I run a website called erasethestate.com. A lot of great content up there about the freedom philosophy, Austrian economics, also commentary on current events. I've been published at Mises.org, LibertarianInstitute.org. So, yeah, it keeps me pretty busy.
That's fantastic. It's really wonderful. And the thing is your Erase the State on Twitter has 10,000 plus followers, which is pretty amazing. it's weird. I mean, okay, like Arnold Schwarzenegger or, Brandy Moore, something like that, a Hollywood star that might have a million followers or something like that. It's a skewed number. It comes again to percentages that I was talking about earlier in the show, how, we can be really normal sort of here in the middle, and everything at the extremes is really wild. So the extremes are the people that have a million followers. The normal is, well, somebody like me who has 700 or 800, and then someone like yourself who's been very successful in just using the platform to say your thoughts and your reality, to express them to people and attract attention.
Yeah, I mean, you really put it perfectly. That's why I started that the Twitter account about a year and a half or so ago. And I remember starting it and just not really knowing what to expect, right? You kind of go out there, I'm like, yeah, I've got a lot of things that I really want to talk about and a big part of what I started out doing and will continue to do actually is a lot of times you'll be able to tell like what book I'm reading at the time by kind of what I'm tweeting about. I'll be reading a book by Mises or Rothbard or something and like, man, that's such a great point. And I'll try to make that point. Maybe sometimes it'll just be a direct quote. More often than not, I'll kind of take the idea and put it into my own words or something that I think will be maybe sometimes a little more relatable for folks and just kind of put it out there. And I've just been really pleasantly surprised at just being able to find a lot of like-minded folks that really we're certainly in the minority here, the folks that are not in the statist camp or the Democrat Republican camp, so it's really exciting. I think people get really excited when they see other voices with saying things that they agree with, and folks get really excited and want to support each other and follow each other and help promote each other's tweets and various messages. So I've been really excited with the success. And as you mentioned, I put together actually an ebook just recently called Tweeting Liberty, as you mentioned. And I figured, well, why not? Why not just put together, basically it's an ebook with hundreds of tweets that I've put together, the most popular ones that have been kind of most successful and kind of resonated with people. And I'm really putting it out there as a resource for others, like-minded folks. I mean, it's really challenging to promote our ideas in a concise manner, with that character limit on Twitter and especially, social media in general is just a statist, cesspool. So we're always being confronted by folks, leftists and progressives and neocons and other statists of all stripes. I'm just really trying to put resources out there for folks to use. I mean, just a cup of coffee, basically. You get the ebook and you've got hundreds of tweets on subjects from socialism/Marxism to the social contract, to economics, Austrian economics, and on down the road, and just all put together in one handy spot. So, folks, if you're out there and you're in the discussion and you're battling it out online and social media, I mean, I would encourage folks to pick this up at tweetingliberty.com. Pick it up, and like I said, there's hundreds of tweets that I encourage you just blatantly take it and use it, to win arguments. I mean, it's important, obviously, to advance our ideas. But let's all admit it can be pretty satisfying. We can shut up a self-righteous leftist too, take advantage of that as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think there'd be a lot in it for us as humans if we didn't actually get the chemical response from the actual responses that we get from the things that we say and we do. And I think it's perfect that we have this right now because of the fact that I talk about this all the time, that we're stuck in this 160 character world. I don't know, is that the limit still? Is it 160 characters now? I don't know. It was 140 at one point, and I know they expanded it, so I had to change what I was saying. But at any rate, the point is that it's limiting, and our arguments can be self-limiting because what I've noticed here lately, as I'm having more and more conversations purposely with people that I don't know and that I know well enough to know that they're open to listen to my ideas. Okay, that's got to be one of the hardest things that we find. It's easy in the digital world. They just follow you. They want to hear what you have to say. They just follow you. It's not as easy in the real world. And what I'm finding is when I'm having these conversations is that while some of these answers that we give are valid answers and we can give them to each other, if we ask each other these questions, universal basic income, what are your thoughts on it? Well, my thoughts are taxation is theft, and that's how you get the income that they're going to pay people. To you and me, that's a valid answer because we understand the story behind taxation being theft. We understand the creation of money. We understand the process of the Federal Reserve and the nightmares that they're going to inflict upon us after this last meeting they just had. and the things that they're talking about, getting more involved ultimately in the end of it. We understand these things. So what that becomes to other people is an emotional appeal. It's not an answer to their question. It's just an emotional appeal. It really doesn't solve the problem. what you're able to do with these tweets is to answer those questions in reasonable responses. And I think that that's important. I think that everybody needs that for their army, and not just on Twitter, their arsenal, not just on Twitter, but in real life. You want to say taxation and theft and have that be statement sink in with someone, have that make that emotional mark. But if they don't understand it, they don't get it. But if you can take taxation as theft and turn it into a sentence, turn it into two sentences, 160 characters, they're that much closer to understanding, and you're that much further from making it an emotional appeal or even a logical appeal, whether it be fallacy or not, that they have to interpret.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, just screaming taxation is theft at folks you disagree with is probably, it might rally up, you know, the folks in the choir, but it might not be that persuasive to others. And persuasive, yeah, let's admit it. There's these die-hard statists and leftists and socialists. We're just not going to convince. Who you're really trying to appeal to, though, are those folks who are kind of in the persuadable middle. That are still, yeah, they kind of feel like, you know, welfare programs are on that benefit and you know, government is a source of good and so forth, but they're not really entrenched yet. You know, they can still kind of be persuaded by some arguments. So, you know, that's really the audience you're trying to target. Even if you're arguing with one of those diehard socialists, you kind of keep in mind who's watching. You know, who's kind of watching these exchanges and how you're going to persuade those people, right? And, you know, I always really try to keep in mind just the contrast between consent versus coercion. You know, taxes are extracted by us under threat of force, and that's really what funds, you know, democracy, you know, funds the government. So the very funding mechanism of the state itself is immoral because it's taken against our will. So when you start kind of leading people down that path a little bit and hopefully start getting people to open their minds a little more, say, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting. Let me learn more. And then you bump into arguments like the social contract, and so you can kind of dismantle that. Like, you know, folks say, well, you agree to the social contract because you drive on the roads. Well, okay, you know, that's like saying a prisoner agrees to be imprisoned because he eats the meals that the guards give him. You know, you need to kind of point out some of these inconsistencies and also, you know, just kind of from a moral compass, again, you know, force, aggression, coercion, you know, we can all agree that it's bad when citizens use against each other. So let's kind of take that next logical step and underscore how it's also bad when the government does it to citizens.
That's a weird thing that we have to deal with, is it? It's the biggest problem for everyone, especially those people that are on the fence. Because you know what those people on the fence are? Those are the libertarians. Those are the disenfranchised left and right. Those are the people that, when they come together, they're not going to agree on things any more than anybody else is. They're probably going to fight even a little bit harder for the thing that they believe in, because they believe they're in the right space at the right time, and that the people that they're talking to by default have to listen to them by, you know, association of their libertarian heritage or whatever it is. No, we face so many hurdles right now in language and communication with people. The language is degrading itself. If you listen to the language of the streets and the language of young people who don't have an influence of an intelligent person, of family, of friends, of teachers, of people at church, whatever it is, somebody that can speak to them like an adult. They grow up still speaking like children, and we have all of these 35, 40, even 50, 55-year-old people running around out here that sound, act, behave like children, and the only way you can get to them is that, because they all have that short attention span, ADHD attention span. You've got to find a way to grab them, and you have to do it in a number of ways. It can't be offensive. One of the biggest things that I think that I'm finding in successful communication, particularly in the short form, the social media, is when you tailor your words to the subject and to the ideas and not the individual who's trying to express them or maybe doesn't understand them. Instead of using the word you, use the word they, them, it, or sklee or schlee, or say, I don't know, as long as it doesn't directly refer to the person who's reading it. And again, it has to, you have to be thinking about, and this has been one of the hardest things for me, I still do it to this day in the social media, you have to be thinking about who's watching and what they're going to see, the reasoned conversation, no matter where the other. Do you get a lot of detractors?
I get some. There's right now, there's kind of a handful of steady trolls, and some of them. I love pushback on my ideas. I mean, that's how you get better. That's how you sharpen your principles and beliefs. Unfortunately, most of the pushback I get is just kind of, mindless. You hate children and you hate poor people and love corporations, everything. And one thing I really enjoy doing, I put out an article quite a while ago at Erase the State called If I Was a Corporate Shill. Right. And that was in response to, a lot of the criticisms that libertarians get. Well, you push back on the state, but you just want corporations to run everything. So I kind of laid it out. Well, I'm not. But if I was, this is what I would support. And it was mostly or it was all, government intervention, which empowers big corporations. So, leading people down to the conclusion, like, if I was a corporate shill, my beliefs would actually look a lot like what your beliefs do right now in supporting state intervention in the economy.
Hey, hold that mirror up to him. It's hard because even places like being a tech guy, I follow the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, and they're, generally speaking, they support free speech. And that's about it when it comes to freedom. They really don't. They're lobbyists. That's what they've become. They become a lobbying arm for the tech industry or for tech voices. And low tech, I guess, not high tech. And so it becomes the same problem. It's this small, interested group of people monopolizing the political system because they vote, because they're vocal, because people are seeing them dance around and parade on the TV or whatever it is, and the system buying into it because they're getting their votes, they're getting their money, they're getting reelected, their constituents are happy, generally speaking, so they keep getting their votes, they keep doing what works, and what works is to twist and bend the law to individual groups, protected classes of citizens, whether it's a guy with a badge or whether it's a guy with a rainbow. And so we have yet one more just ridiculous hurdle to overcome when we're talking about trying to communicate with people. Loss of language, loss of connection. We're experiencing that now with COVID-19, people separated from each other. And then when you do get a conversation, which is what started this, is the responses to it, they're negative. They're not questioning. They're not offering any better a position or a reality for things I'm distracted because I think we may have. No. All right. We're okay. All right. we missed the one break there. So I didn't want it to happen again. I know that we're coming up on it. So I didn't want it to happen again. And I know that what happens is it's a tech thing. We're better this week. You should have seen the video last week. Oh boy, I was washed out. You could not see me at all. It was terrible. But between Skype and the camera. So I replaced the camera and it seems to be functioning much better. You can actually see me now. But we still have the same problem, and that's the music bed will try to come in and beat our conversation down, and it'll mess up our conversation sometime. And it just I'm on edge about it because last week it was so bad, and I just got back into putting the video back out here, wanting to actually utilize YouTube and again take advantage of one of these social media platforms. But in the long form space. And that's why I thought it was great when you emailed me originally talking about it because I have this long-form platform to be able to come and talk to people and expand on some of these ideas and challenge some of them. It may challenge them in a positive way that we don't see happen too often. And that's why I don't think that there's a problem with creating a sounding board or an echo chamber. Do you think that you do that when you select your people on the social media?
Yeah, I mean, that's a difficult question. I mean, I didn't really have any intent in mind. You know, I just really wanted to use this as an outlet to talk about things that I'm passionate about, these ideas that I'm passionate about, the ideas of liberty, individual freedom, you know, against the state. And one thing, you know, people talk want to criticize, saying, well, you're just preaching to the choir. Well, name me one preacher that when he gets to the sermon, he tells the choir, "Now, you guys don't need to listen to this." You know, of course. And you know, to beat that metaphor down a little bit more, you know, if we are going to build up a choir, we want to make sure they're singing from a good hymn book, you know, that's making sense, that's appealing to folks. You know, again, it is challenging, especially on Twitter, to communicate these ideas with this hard character limit. And so, you know, if we can give them these tools, if we can supply some tools to folks to make these points, to convey our principles and ideas in this concise and a persuasive fashion, then that's exactly, I think it's super helpful. Because, again, if I've got 10,000 followers and then a bunch of them retweet what I have and then a bunch of those folks retweet that, it gets out to a much broader audience than just the choir.
Oh, that's the whole idea. That's absolutely it. You preach to the choir because they know and you can talk to them. Hey, we got to go into this break and we will be right back. We'll be right back with Bradley Thomas on Twitter.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract is got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-927-9673. 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Toward Anarchy on RVN with Michael Storm.
Click on today's date. It's August 30th. That's what you're looking for. Bradley Thomas is the author of Tweeting Liberty. It's libertarian tweets to smash statists and socialists, and it does a very good job of it. I'm reading through it. It's a nice, easy book. Those are the kind that I like. And one, it's right here on my big screen. I can't miss the words as I'm getting older. It's probably about time to invest in some glasses. I don't know. The focus isn't as fast as it used to be. My mic is a tad hot today. Well, that could be because one of the things that I did was I made it a point to try to make it so that the audio didn't get crushed. Interesting. It's all back up there. It should have been down here. This is where I had it set. This was a problem that I was having before. And now this is my microphone. This is not the camera, where when I go away from this, my audio setting should be different now based on what I'm seeing on my screen. But when I go away from this, it's going to turn them back up. And it's going to go right back up. And it's a Skype problem. And it's really annoying me. No, yeah, it didn't do it that time. So hopefully it'll keep it that way. Hopefully that's better. You'll let me know if it's not. Oh boy, technology. Now I gotta go back to the screen that shows me the chats, though. Is that better? Okay, good. That I swear on whoever, whatever document, Bible, I set that before. It was the same problem with the camera last week. I would go in and I would change the settings and would change them back immediately. And it would never keep doing them. And there's not like a save button. It's not like save settings or anything like that. You just click the X and it's supposed to stay. Well, the messing with the technology, sometimes it just gets to me. This is a really, really short segment right here. So it's always annoying to try to get into something. So just go to towardanarchy.com. Look for August 30th if you want to follow along. I have the link for you there if you want to follow Bradley on Twitter. It's at Erase State, not Erase the State, Erase State. It's an easy one. And you'll see right up there, he's got links to some amazing places. So if you're just following along just to see who he is and what he's doing, you're going to end up in some amazing company across, you know, Mises Institute and Libertarian Institute and FEE, all those guys, all the places. Wonderful, wonderful people and heads and individuals and faces and names and ideas and that have come out of there out of all of those places over the years and years. Let's see. All these different tweets here. When everyone needs a bailout and government is broke, who does the bailing? Well, who funds the government? There's a question to leave you with. We're going to go into the topic now real quick. We'll come right back up with Bradley Thomas here on Toward Anarchy. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.